السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
الله يوسف، how are you؟
الحمد لله بخير.
Sorry, I was a bit late. I wasn't looking at the time control. جزاكم الله خيرا.
جزاكم الله خيرا.
Yesterday, our discussions were about the woman's soul and how the souls of the Muslims, how they connect to the aspects of Iman, the connection and the affection that comes to the minds of Muslims. One Muslim likes the other Muslim. One Muslim loves the other Muslim. One person of Iman, he loves the other person of Iman. And they would not have seen themselves for a long time. Yet the thoughts of each of them will be filled by or with thoughts of his brother. That is from the aspects of Iman. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna ruha al-mu'minayni layaltaqiyani fi nasirati yawmin wa ma ra'a ahaduhuma sahibahu. That two souls of two believing persons, لا يلتقيان في مسيرة يوم, their souls will connect in the period that it takes for the distance of a day's journey. If you want to go on a day's journey, how long does it take? For that period, the two souls of two believing persons would have been in connection, and they would not have seen themselves for years, for 10 years, for 20 years, for 50 years. Yet their minds would be connected to themselves. Sometimes even one of the parties might even have passed away, and yet the minds would still be connected to him. Why? They were upon Iman. The two of them were upon Iman before they got separated. So this one happens a lot. So when it happens, when the two of them are alive, or when the two of them can even see themselves, sometimes after they will not have seen themselves, you find that there's a lot of friendliness, affection, inclination towards another, mutual benefit, mutual understanding, mutual love, that pervades the dealings in between the two of them. And this dealing will be so genuine that it will not be like I repeatedly said that Umar said, radiallahu anhu, they will not be ikhwanul alaniya. They will not be friends, brothers in the open, but a'da'u sarira. But in the hidden, they are enemies, which is what is common amongst many of the Muslims. Unless they become connected by some sort of worldly benefits. If the connection is not worldly, many of the people are a'da'ul as-sarira, enemies in the secret, but ikhwanul alaniya. You can see them together, they go to Asalatu, they go to Muf, come back together and all that. But behind that, there is just all about enmity. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So in the times like Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhuma, in the Asar that followed that an-ni'am tukfar, a lot of people were showing ingratitude to favors that were directed to them. Wa-rahim tukfar, and connections, family ties will be disconnected. Wa-lam nara mithla taqarub al-qulub. But there is nothing that is so beneficial, so important and gainful like souls when they are connected to themselves, when they are inclined towards themselves. There's a lot of harmony in the community. There's a lot of peace in the community. There's a lot of mutual cooperation in the community. There's a lot of pursuit of common benefits in the community. May Allah make things easy for us. So we thought yesterday that before we open up another chapter, We should be reading Babul Mizah, the chapter about the reports from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about jokes. We thought that today should be employed to address some of the questions that we may not have addressed in the past classes, as much as Allah will permit. We'll try to address today, inshallah, some of the classes that some of the questions that we may not have addressed. We'll try to address as much as possible today, inshallah. Yesterday we were also discussing about one of the ways the mind connects, and we talked about dreams, how those of us who are still alive can connect with those who have passed away in our dreams, how they communicate with us, we see them, they talk to us, we talk to them, and things like this. That's one of the ways of that connection. We discussed all of that yesterday. So today, inshallah, Abu Yusuf and Abu Amir will be addressing the questions that will arise or that had arisen previously from our previous classes. We'll be addressing them as much as Allah will permit. The first question I would like us to address, we had promised that yesterday, was the question of a woman. I wouldn't know whether that question is still available verbatim with our brothers. Abu Yusuf, is that question still available verbatim? Or we should just mention what we remember from it and try to give an advice or a response. Is this still available verbatim?
I don't know the question you're talking about yet, sir.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, Abu Amir, you're welcome.
Yes, it's available, sir.
Sorry, can we go on with it? Can we start with it?
All right. So it's read, Assalamu alaikum. If a marriage is devoid of mutual love and understanding, simply because the husband believes that showing love and understanding degrades him, he avoids communication, he goes out without telling his wife his whereabouts, he believes the woman must be punished for any mistakes, and he does not listen to explanation. No love, no mercy, and no tranquility. Is this not enough reason to quit the marriage, as the wife has already developed hatred? She doesn't like to see him, let alone speaking with him. I forgot to say that he doesn't listen to people. He said whatever he says is a command from Allah, and nobody can change his decision. Involving people is like putting salt on injury. Please, I need advice.
Well, the question you see generally reads some sort of a bad dealings and relationship from the aspects of the husband. Marital discord sometimes and issues can come from the wife, and sometimes marital discord can come from the husband. And sometimes marital discord can come from the both of them. The discord will arise from both the man and his wife. But this one appears, as she has explained, just according to her explanations. It has to do with discord that's coming from the husband. That, like she said in the question, the husband will not listen to the wife, he will not show kindness to her, he will not show love to her. Perhaps when he goes out of the home, it will be out of her knowledge, and he does not take corrections, does not listen to anybody, and he's so harsh, he thinks to punish her for every mistake she commits, and the like of that. All of these show some sort of a hardship that is directed to the woman from the husband. The woman has bad dealings. She has the husband is aggressive in summary against her, and this is not lawful, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam makes us understand. He said alayhi salatu wa salam, khayrukum li ahlihi, the best of you are those who are best to their homes. The best of you, khayrukum, khayrukum li ahli. The best of you are those who are best in their manners, who are nice in their manners to their families. Wa ana khayrukum li ahli. I am the best of you to my family. So this makes us understand that the Muslim must show kindness to his home. He must show goodness to his family. He must show kindness and love and genuine care for his family. Now, if it is that this woman has taken this matter to her home, her family, or their teachers, or their guides in the community, or the husband's family, or the husband's teachers, people who can really intervene and call his attention to this harsh treatment of his wife, if it has gotten to them and no response positive is noticed by her regarding his dealings, it is sufficient grounds, as she has asked. It is sufficient grounds for a woman to leave a marriage. A woman may leave a marriage because the husband is as harsh as she has described, punishing her. There are cases of one or two brothers who even had to hit their wives and all of these in a manner that's so violent. This kind of a thing from a man to a woman can make a woman to ask to be relieved in the marriage. She can is sufficient grounds when the treatment is harsh and has recognized no amendment, despite genuine efforts to be sure that the marriage is amended and the faults of the husband are addressed. When this fails, then it is lawful for a woman in that circumstance to ask to be separated from. Because the point is that if a woman goes to ask for separation from her husband, and the reason for asking for separation is not genuine, if at all there are reasons, sometimes they are cooked up stories. Some women can cook up stories to find justification to get separation from a marriage. Sometimes women can cook up stories to find justification to separate from their husband, just like men too can cook up stories to find justification to divorce their wives. So when a woman cooks up stories to find justification to ask for separation from a husband, which is called al-khul'u, in that circumstance, we tell her the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, which was reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and Al-Imam Ahmad collected that hadith. He said that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mukhtali'at hunna munafiqat. Al-mukhtali'at hunna munafiqat. Al-mukhtali'at, women who seek khul'u without genuine reason. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, hunna munafiqat. They are the very ones that are hypocrites. They are the very ones that are hypocrites. And in some other reports of that hadith, it says, لَا يَدْخُلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ. They will not come into the paradise. وَلَا يَجِدْنَا رِيحَا. They will not even smell its fragrance. So it is not lawful for a woman to cook up stories to find separation in marriage. But if she does not cook up stories, and the case is as this woman in this case has described, harsh treatment, no love, no care, punishment for everything that she does, then that's sufficient reason for her to ask to be granted separation. I hope that it is clear, inshallah, the Amir.
Another one here, I read from yesterday, said, I want to ask, a man usually brings his daughter to Salah, the congregation.
A man does what?
Usually brings his daughter to the masjid.
No.
Congregational Salah. But what is going on him placing the daughter between the walls, like in between the men?
Well, placing children in rows is lawful, basically. It is basically lawful to have children in between rows. It does, especially when those children do not disrupt the salah. When the children do not disrupt the salah, especially when they do not disrupt the salah, they can go on observing the salah with the rest of the people. When they are able to do that, it is lawful. It may even be something that is encouraged in times like this when children are gradually becoming disinterested in the deen, unless we carry them along from the very beginning like this. So children can be placed, generally speaking, whether males or females, they may be placed in the middle of rows of the adults, whether they are males or females. I remember the author, if I remember vividly, it occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari Mu'allaqat, that Ummu Darda used to come in the rows of males, used to play the rows of males because she was a very little young girl at the time. That was after Abu Darda had Ummu Darda al-Kubra had passed away. Ummu Darda al-Sugra was a younger one. She later also married Abu Darda. She used to play in the rows of men as a little, very little young girl who was far away from any sort of immaturity. So that's lawful, inshallah, Abba Amir.
Assalamu alaikum. My mom died in America 2 days before she was returned. She was to return back to Nigeria. I wanted us to bury her there, but my sister saw her in her dream, same day she died, that she wanted to be returned home. We eventually brought her back, but she was buried 6 weeks after her death. I still feel bad about this. Should I have insisted she's buried where she died?
Well, no clue. Transferring the corpse of a Muslim is basically discouraged. Transferring the corpse of a Muslim from one locality to the other is basically discouraged, except there's a reason for that. If there's a genuine reason for it, the corpse may be transferred. If there's a genuine reason for it, the corpse may be transferred, such as that the community where the person passed away, maybe the maqbara, a place of burial for the Muslim, may not be found. The corpse may be transferred if there are genuine reasons, and they are not places where you can just go into the open forest and bury him instead of burying him in the burial field of non-Muslims. So if they don't have that kind of a provision, such a person can be moved from one locality to the other. Okay, like in this case, can a dead person's preference for a particular place as a place of burial be sufficient reason not to bury that person in the place where the person had passed away? If the person was a person of knowledge, who has a full knowledge about the implications of transferring corpse, then such instructions in the dream may be respected. If he has a knowledge, he has knowledge why he should be transferred. He is a person of knowledge who has a knowledge that perhaps his body will be badly handled by the non-Muslims. Last week I got aware of someone who will be cremated, will be burnt in the locality where he died. So that kind of a person might appear to us in the dream and say, hey, transfer my corpse so that I will not be handled in the way the Hindus and the Buddhists handle their corpse. In fact, unfortunately, that burning was to be done in the US. That was about last week. In that kind of a case, if you find that person in the dream saying that to you, then you respect that. Those are from the reasons that can necessitate transferring the corpse of a Muslim. Maybe we can't find a Muslim burial ground to bury him, or that the body will be handled mutilated, or the likes of this. So for such reasons, the corpse may be transferred from one place to the other. But if it is just about preference, the person just likes it, it's not a person of knowledge who can understand the details of the reasons why he may be transferred or she may be transferred, just a thing of preference, then the preference of the Sharia should be given preference. The preference of the Sharia is that when a person dies, he should be buried in the locality where the person has died. The preference of the Sharia is that the person should be buried in the locality where the person has died. So if it is just about preference, then preference should be given to the Sharia. But if it is for a genuine reason, the body of a dead person may be transferred. Now, for a genuine reason and the body is being transferred, that transfer may lead to the kind of delay that the sister has indicated, a delay of a day or two and the like of that, then that's from the aspects of the genuineness of the reason for the transfer. Allahu alam. I hope that it is clear, Abba Amir.
Nazar. Ahsan Allah alam.
Ameen wa iyakum.
So this one that reads, Assalamu alaikum, ya Shaykh. May Allah preserve you upon sound faith, health, and wealth. Please advise. There is a man whose dreams do come to pass or manifest to the extent that he is always fearful whenever he has a strange, scary dreams about people. Should he tell them or warn them against it or keep it to himself?
No, when we have dreams that are not palatable, when a Muslim has a dream and that dream is not palatable, we are not encouraged at all to tell anybody about the dream. You have a dream, whether it's regarding yourself or it's regarding someone else. The Sharia does not allow us to tell people about it. It does not even allow us. It discourages us from getting busy about the meaning of the detailed meaning of that dream. Once the dream is not palatable, because unpalatable dreams, Shaitan brings them to scare us. He brings unpalatable dreams to scare us. There are three types of dreams. Dreams that are saliha, sadiqa, arru'ya saliha, or arru'ya sadiqa. Dreams that are good, or dreams that will come true, bring goodness. Dreams that are mubashirat, dreams that tell us glad tidings, dreams that brings hope. These ones come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are dreams of worry that usually comes from Shaitan. The dreams of worry, dreams of threat, most of what you refer to as nightmares, they come from Shaitan. It may even be a dream of play, like a companion told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a dream that he had his head cut off from his body. The head that was cut off from the body in the dream fell down and was rolling off, and the rest of the body was pursuing that head. He came to narrate that dream to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, when Shaitan plays with any of you, he should, in his dream, then he should not say that to us. It means it was a play of Shaitan. But as it was a play, it was a thing of a threat to that companion, radiallahu anhu. So they bring threats, they bring worry, they bring fear to us in our dream. That comes from Shaitan. The third aspects of dreams are those dreams that we have because of some certain experiences we had during the day, a day before, things we are thinking about. You'd find that sometimes you are solving a mathematical equation. when you dream, you bring that mathematics into you, what you were doing, although that may also be connected to something that is referred to as al-ilham, because sometimes you find it difficult to solve some mathematical problems until you come to your dream. When you get to the dream, you get the answer. You quickly wake up and then you write it down. Some of us have experienced things like this many times when we were younger than this. We carry problems, physics problems, chemistry problems, and mathematical problems. We carry it to our dreams. And by the permission of Allah, you get it. So you wake up immediately and you start writing it down because you've been guided to the solution to that problem in the dream. So that's, yes, started by the mind, what the mind was engaged with. But there was an additional benefit. The additional benefit is the additional information you get in that dream regarding what the mind had been busy with during the day. So the third form of dreams are those dreams that have to do with things we were busy with during the day before we had our sleep, or things that maybe a man was hungry before he slept. He can sleep and dream that he was eating food. He might be thirsty before he slept. He might dream and dream. He might sleep and dream that he was drinking water. Now, when the dream is unpalatable, that's in the second case that we described, there are about six or seven things that the narrations regarding that have shown that we should do. The first thing we should do is at least the other to be la min shariha. We should ask for protection from Allah. You seek Allah's protection from that evil. You seek Allah's protection from the evil that you have seen in the deen, in that dream. The second thing is at least the other to min ash-shaytan, falasa. You also seek protection against shaitan. The first one, you seek protection with Allah. The second one, you seek protection against shaitan by saying a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And on each of the occasions, you say three times. And on each of the occasions, you spittle gently towards the left. Gently. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. You pour the spit gently, like a small spittle to the left. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. The second time, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. The third time. The fourth thing that we are encouraged in the sunnah to do is at-tahawwuli anil janbi alladhi kana alayhi. At-tahawwul anil janbi alladhi kana alayhi. You change your direction. You change if you were sleeping on the left, or if you were sleeping, you found yourself when you had the dream on, even your face, where on facing ground, you have to turn to your right side. If you found that you were perhaps on the right side, you can turn on your back. If you found that you were on the left side, you can turn on the right side. So if you find, because sleeping on the right side is encouraged, but sleeping on the back with our back on the ground is permissible. Sleeping with the back on the ground is permissible. Sleeping on the right side is encouraged. So you can return to any of these two positions. You can return to any of these two positions when you are in the dream and you have something that's not palatable. The fourth thing or the fifth thing you can do is you can stand up and observe Salat. You can stand up and observe Salat. There's a hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah wherein the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْ رَأَى أَحَدُكُمْ مَا يَكْرَهُ فَلْيَكُمْ فَلْيُصَلِّ فَإِنْ رَأَى أَحَدُكُمْ مَا يَكْرَهُ. If any of you finds something that he detests in his dream, فَلْيَكُمْ, let him stand up. فَلْيُصَلِّ, let him observe two units of prayer or four, or as is easy for him. وَلَا يُحَدِّثْ بِهَا النَّاسِ. This is the first thing that we had mentioned. La yuhaddith biha an-nas. Yani la yuhaddithu bi ru'ya an-nas. You should not narrate that dream to the people. So don't narrate the dream to the people. Wala yufassiruha li nafsihi. If he's a person who understands dreams too, you should not get busy with trying to find out the details of the meaning of that dream. This is the way to handle a dream that's not palatable. If the dream were palatable, if the dream was palatable, you only do three things. The first one is that you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one is that you take glad tidings, you become happy with it. And then the third one is that you do not tell anybody except somebody you love. You do not tell anybody except somebody you love that and that you can say loves you. You do not tell anybody except someone you love and that you know that he loves you. That occurs in the hadith of Abu Sa'id.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum wa salam.
Sorry, Abba Yusuf. Can we go on now?
No, I'm not sure.
I was trying to change the network. I think the first one had issues.
No.
So those are the things that we do when we have a good dream. The first is that we are happy. We take glad tidings from it. The second is that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third is what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, وَلَا يُخْبِرْ إِلَّا مَنْ يُحِبْ. You should not say that dream to anybody except to someone that he loves. And of course, the person who loves him too. That was what happened in the story of Yusuf, alayhi salatu wa salam. When he had the dream, he told the dream to his father. But somehow his brothers got aware of the dream. And here we are for about 40 years or for about 35 years, as some of the scholars have said. Because some of the ulama amongst the tabi'un say between the dream and the actualization of the dream was 40 years. Some say it is 35 years between the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam and that they bowing down to him and the members of his family to love you and that you love. Yeah, Allah protect us all.
Amen. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah.
This one is also related to yesterday's class. It says, Assalamu alaikum, sir. In the process of showing affection, some people want to take advantage of you and start coming to you to eat your food all the time, even when they have more than you do. How can we handle that, please?
If it's about the example that you have given, you should be glad. It is not taking advantage. If he loves to eat your food, even though he may have, then that's about eating your food. He likes you or she likes you, as the case may be. If it's your sister coming to your house, she likes the way you cook, she likes to eat your food, then that's good for you. That is from the fruits of your connection. That shows his inclinations towards you. I have seen things like that before. There are people, they can't eat except they find some of their brothers with them. They'll be waiting. Oh, let me wait for so-and-so to come. It's not as if they eat the food will not find digestion inside their stomach. But the love, the inclination, affection for them makes them like to eat with their brothers. This is good. It is positive. It's a good thing. It's not taking advantage. Let's leave that English expression, take advantage. Leave it aside. If you do it sincerely and you have the ability to do it, and you do it sincerely, and the person comes, it is too clear to you that the person has done this out of love for you, out of affection for you, out of friendliness, then you should go on with it. Our parents did a lot of this with their friends. These issues, these things are strange in our own communities now, in our own times, because our minds are trained to be nuclear. In the older times, this was a regular thing. You see an old man who has a friend, another old man. If he buys a cloth, he buys his own. I witnessed things like this from parents. You have a friend, if she buys your mother, she buys a cloth, she has a friend, she buys her own. Even without notice, Oh, I saw this cloth, I liked it, and I bought it. I knew that you would like it. This is your own. How many times have we been sent to their friends to deliver clothes, to deliver food? How many times? The problem is that in our own times, in our own generation, the mindset is about being nuclear. It's just about you. It's just about yourself alone, such that even people who have genuine affection for you, you give it an impression, don't take advantage. No, it's not an advantage. It's not taking any advantage of you. It's also from the aspects of affection. They love you. They want you. Now, let me say this narration from the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Two companions were friends. One of them was rich. The other one was poor. The one who had food, who had everything in his own home, provided the meal that the other one had. The one who had the meal went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Why is it that all the time this my brother eats from my food? He takes from me. Everything he does, it is from me." You know what the Prophet said, alayhi salam? La'allaka turzaqu bihi. The Prophet said, alayhi salam, la'allaka turzaqu bihi. Perhaps Allah is providing you what he provides you because of him. Meaning that if you stop, it is possible that Allah withdraws your risk too. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la'allaka turzaqu bihi. So if you find a brother, you find a sister, is so close to you, he likes to eat from your food. He likes to even sleep in your house. And it is safe for him to do so. He likes to stay with you. He likes to read your books. He likes to be with you all the time. It is no other than from the aspects of affection. Open up to him. Open up to him. Show him love too. Show him affection too. There is no taking any advantage from that. More so when you can clearly yourself notice that his love for you is genuine. It's not because he wants to rip you off anything. He just likes your food. He just likes, you know, how you conduct yourself. He wants to be with you all the time. This one happens. There are brothers, they want to stay with you all the time. They want to be in your companionship. Did you not notice the hadith of Abu al-Haytham that we read, Ibn Tayyihan, when Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came out in the afternoon, radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come out. When the Prophet met Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and asked him, "Abu Bakr, what did you come out to do?" He said, "I came to say salamu alaykum to you. I also came to look at your face." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would leave his house. Why? Let me just go to see the face of the Prophet Muhammad. This is affection. This is love. This is inclination. When you love someone, you like to be in their company. So Allahu Alam, I do not see any sort of taking advantage, unless you notice that it's about a person is greedy, he only just wants to take from you. Even at that, if he is greedy, he wants to take from you, and that does not affect you in any way. Give him, and you have. He is greedy. He wants to take from you, and it does not affect you in any way. Give him. I just go back to the other hadith, like I said, لَعَلَّكَ تُرُزَقُ بِهِ. Give him. Give him. Give her as a case maybe. So Allahu A'lam Abraham. Can we look at another question?
So this one also reads, a sister dreamt that the baby was combing her hair and she was feeling pain. The lady said to her that she dreamt that the lady was combing her hair.
Combing?
Yes, sir.
A baby was combing her hair.
A lady. She dreamt that the lady was combing her hair and she was feeling pain. The lady said to her that she was making it long for her. Days later, this sister's hair fell out completely, such that the hair can't be plaited again. The sister has been having headache now and depressed. People say that the lady combing her hair in her dream was a jinn or a witch. Please, Sheikh, what is your opinion regarding this, and what should the sister do? Jazakumullahu khair.
I don't know, Allahu A'lam.
No.
But as for what she can do, she can make the normal istiazat and expect goodness from Allah.
Because the reason I'll avoid to comment about that is there are certainly things that had gone between herself and that woman, between herself and the lady. There are so many other indicators that this platform may not make us be able to talk about regarding the incidents and what meaning we can take out of it. If she had a dream and the opposite happened, if she in that dream the opposite happened, what would we have said? So there are perhaps other things, issues like what was between her and the other lady? What had she done herself with her hair? Was she someone who was having some hair that could be called long and she had been displayed it? And perhaps the other one had hazard of her, that is, the other one was jealous of her and envious of her. We have described what hazard is. The other one hated her to have such long hairs, and in pretext of helping her to comb the hair, she appeared to her in the dream. Who is that lady? Is she a person of deen, the second lady? Is she a person of deen? Because Shaitan could have come in the picture of that second lady. If the second lady who was combing the hair is a person of deen, you don't know anything regarding her except goodness. Shaitan could come in between the two of you using this hair as the means to disconnect between the two of you. Shaitan would want you to think evil of her, to think that she made her side of you and things like that. So the jinns too could have come in between the two of you. So there are a lot of other things that are connected to being able to properly understand and explain what has transpired in that dream. But nevertheless, what that means is that there is some sort of she requires some sort of stronger fortification for herself. She needs a stronger dealings with her Lord. She needs to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for his protection. One of the most valuable things to women is their hair. So if a woman loses her hair, it means she's losing one of the most valuable things to her. And there is no way to restore that except to seek good protection, bismillah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek protection against shaitan and the agents of shaitan. I hope that it is clear. There are various other means, making adhkar, waking up in the night, making qiyamul layl, deliberately asking Allah to restore her hair and protect her from evil eyes and the implications of hasad, of the one who may have hasad of her. Allahu alam. I hope that it is clear about Amir. May Allah heal the sister and return her hair to more beautiful than it used to be.
Amen. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Amen.
So these two questions read, what about dreaming about people you have never met? Like dreaming about past scholars like Sheikh Ibaz, the Prophet, the Holy Masjid, but you've never met them or seen them.
Yes, this is known in Islam. This is well known. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you have read the attributes, the physical attributes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and your mind becomes connected to the personality of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, Allah can make you see the Prophet in the dream. This one has happened a lot. I personally had such an experience. The day that we finished, there's a book we wrote in 2003 about the biography of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. At the time when I completed that book, I did the final editing. Before that time, the internet had not been what we have it to. I had not had the opportunity to see the picture of Sheikh Al-Albani. I had not seen the picture. When I finished that work, it was in a work I did from the evening towards the night. There we went for Isha, Fajr. I came back to the work. I finished sometime around Zuhur. When I finished, just shortly before Zuhur, I slept off because I was happy. I just lied down where I slept. I saw Ali Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah. He extended his hands to me saying, Jazakallahu khair, Jazakallahu khair. After that, less than 2 weeks after that, I was in Kaduna, and I had the opportunity of seeing the picture of the Sheikh. And I remember that this was the person that I saw in the dream who was saying to me, Jazakallahu khair. So things like this happen. There are narrations like this in the past from the scholars of Islam. Someone you would not know, but you heard about him. Allah makes you see him in the dream. And if he's someone who is alive, the day you meet him, you say, this was the very person that I saw in the dream. That one happens very well. It is from the aspects of what the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we read in hadith yesterday, that in the ruh, the souls of people, they meet, the souls meet. The souls meet, the souls of Muslims meet. The souls of people of Iman meet. And the souls, when they meet, they could recognize, they will recognize themselves. This is the soul of so-and-so. They converse, they relate. And one of the places where souls meet is during the dreams. One of the places where souls meet is during the dreams. And this is well known in the deen. It's well known in the deen. There is one of the early Muslims whose name was Ali ibn Abi Talib al-Qayrawani al-Mu'abbir. Ali ibn Abi Talib al-Qayrawani al-Mu'abbir. He lived or was amongst the scholars of Qayrawani too. And he was known to have dreams. One of the things that was reported of him were cases of when people had perhaps, there was a particular case, a man had his father pass away, and the father had left some property for him. But he didn't know where the father kept the property. So he started to open up places in the house. Someone saw him and said, why are you opening up places in the house? He said, I'm looking for what my father had kept. I knew he kept something, but I don't know where he kept. He said, go and meet Ali. Go and meet Al-Qayrawani Al-Mu'ad. Tell him what has happened. Perhaps he can have a sleep and meet your daddy in the dream to ask him. So he did that. The man met the parents, met the father in the dream, asked him where he kept the property for the child. And it was said to him, he reported the case. And they went there and found such property. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned cases like this, many of them in his book, Ar-Ruh. He mentioned it, that it was a regular thing, it was a common thing in the home. There was a case of, was it Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, who was buried in Al-Madain. And he was buried near a place in the subsequent generation, a huge dam was built in the area. Now that dam that was built in the area had water that was running into the grave of that companion. Or was it Muawiyah? That dam caused a situation where water was running in the grave of that companion. And the Amir at that time had a dream. He saw the companion, and the companion said to him that your dam is bringing water to my grave. Is this to do something about it? The big social place, national place, national place. The Amir Moko, they went there. And they caught the thing, and that was all. The dream stopped. There was a case of the Imam Tabari and the Imam Husayna who were trying to eat their food. They didn't get food to eat. And one of the ladies at that time had a dream.
Sheikh is having actual issues with you, that's true.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
But Amir, the talk had been a bit funny today.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. I was saying a lot of things regarding dreams. And I just got aware at the end of the day that I had already been disconnected. What was the last thing you heard me say?
Man, you were concluding the because about the companion that the dam was, the water from the dam was then you went on to another, although it wasn't clear.
After that, I had mentioned many other things after that, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming to Mecca, in fact to Mecca, was first seen in a dream. That occurs in Surah Al-Fath, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ. That dream, Allah brought it to reality during the Battle of Badr. Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Tawbah, إِذْ يُرِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنَامِكَ قَلِيلًا. Allah made you to see the non-Muslims in your dream. You saw them to be very few. Allah says, وَلَوْ أَرَاكَهُمْ كَثِيرًا لَفَشِلْتُمْ. If I had made you to see the non-Muslims in your dream to be much in their number, you would have lost that battle. Ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu, we saw them as if they were like 100. Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, said, what Allah made us to see non-Muslims on the day of Badr. And that one happened in their dream. The Adhan came from a dream. Laylatul Qadr. About 4 or 5 companions had a dream that it was on the 27th night. These are from the things about the specialities and peculiarities about dreams. 5 people can have the same dream about the same thing. A number of people. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has a chapter heading on that in Sahih al-Bukhari on Kitab al-Ta'bir. That a group of people can have a dream. All of them, the same dream. It is from the symbols that dream will happen. When a number of people have a dream, it is from the signs that this thing they have dreamt about will happen. They may even have it on the same night. In the same night, 5 people will have the same dream about something. It is from the signs that thing will happen. Dreams are major things that by which the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said it is from the 46th aspect of messengership, of prophethood. Yes, there will be no prophet, but there will be dreams that will come true. The Muslim will be seeing the dreams, they will come true. Some of them will be upon an explanation. But these days we have abandoned things like this. We don't pay attention to them. May Allah forgive us. Now.
Amen. Amen. Salawatu alaykum.
Amen. Iyakum Aba Amir.
Someone is asking, is it lawful to terminate a 2-month pregnancy when you feel it will affect the care of the less than a year and the mother's health?
Well,
I don't know if it's clear.
Yeah, it's clear about whether pregnancy threatens the life of a man or the life of a woman. The life of the fetus or the life of the woman carrying the fetus. This issue has been widely discussed. Some of the scholars say yes, when it is so clear that the woman may pass away, then the fetus may be terminated. Others say, what gives you that guarantee that the woman will pass away? It is difficult to say upon an assertion that a particular person will pass away. Allah alone knows who it is. But Allah alam, if it appears so absolutely, almost a certainty that the woman will pass away. And in fact, many times when women pass away, it finally also affects the pregnancy that's in the womb. Matters like this, I usually avoid making any categorical statements on them because cases are usually different. I know a case of a brother, perhaps he's also listening to us now, in the UK. They said the girl was going to be born destructed, defaced, with deformation. I said, look, the Sharia does not allow you to terminate the pregnancy. When the girl was delivered,
but he had it moved. When the girl was delivered, she was delivered and she was not deformed. So sometimes these things are just there. So how do you take out life? How do you take out life without genuinity? It's something that the Sharia really prohibits. So I think that these kinds of issues should be handled case by case. As the case, because if you give an open permission, many people at the slightest age, they want to set out pregnancy, they want to terminate pregnancy, because we're in a generation where even childbirth without a problem itself is a problem to people. How about childbirth when there's a problem? Allah protect each and every one.
I mean, this one reads on, Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Please, what the ruling about special worship in Nisfu Sha'ban?
Ulama says an innovation. There is no special worship when Sha'ban becomes halved or on the day of its being halved. No special worship has been recommended by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam or approved in the Quran. When someone brings about worship that is not approved and recommended by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such worship will be returned to the person who has done it, because that is the meaning of an innovation. But let's not innovate in the deen. The sunnah suffices. If you're a person who used to fast Mondays and Thursdays, you can continue your fasting Mondays and Thursdays. If you're a person who fasts Sawm al-Dawud, continue your Sawm al-Dawud in the month of Sha'ban. Continue upon the good deeds that you were upon the month of Sha'ban. If you were not upon them at all, you can start. But the one you will start will be the one that has been recommended by the Sunnah. Maybe Monday, Thursday fasting. Maybe Sawm al-Dawud. Maybe 13, 14, 15, Ayyam al-Bid. And the like of that. Nawafil, Qiyamul Layl. Some of the people did not used to observe Qiyamul Layl. You start training yourself for Qiyamul Layl in the month of Sha'ban. Some of the people are lazy with reading the Quran. You start training yourself to become used to reading the Quran the month of Sha'ban. Then learning the rulings of fasting. This is one thing many people don't do. You prepare for Ramadan, buying food, buying this, buying that. Don't forget to learn about the ahkam, the rulings of the fasting person in the month of Ramadan. The rulings connected to fasting in the month of Ramadan. Don't forget to learn it so that your fasting will be a fasting that is based upon knowledge. I hope that it is clear, Abu Ahmed.
Yes, sir. No. Jazakum Allah. This one will be on.
Can we make this the last one?
No, inshallah.
Okay.
Although there's a clarification from the one who asked the previous question. I don't know if we should check that or. Hello, sir.
Yeah. Go on, please. The one from the last question.
All right. So just mention that,
we can take the clarification for the last question.
All right. It is not the fetus, but the woman has a baby of less than a year and toddlers, which is sapping her of her energy so as a means of child spacing to terminate the less than 2 month pregnancy. That was a clarification. Did you hear me, sir?
All of these do not speak. She can bring people. Now, I don't think my person had kids. Gave Allah all of this before he gave her that friend. Is Allah not aware of her condition? Allah is aware of her. Can you hear me, Abu Ahmed?
No, we can hear you now.
Allah is aware of her condition when he gave her that pregnancy. So
So she has kids that she can take care of. Someone asked a similar question from me last week. And one of the things she commented was that, and then she's going to be busy in her shop. So you have one of the reasons why you are thinking about terminating pregnancy is because you are going to be busy in your shop. So if a woman has kids with her, she should stay at home completely. And this is what we really encourage women to do. Stay at home completely. Take care of your kids. Manage your time. Rest well. Breastfeed the one that you are breastfeeding for as long as you still be able to breastfeed the child. When you are not anymore able to breastfeed the child, find alternatives, means of food for that child. Good, well-prepared food for that child that will be nourishing for the child. And then you carry on with your pregnancy. All of these issues can be addressed without tears. All of these issues can be addressed without tears. If we know how grievous it is to take the life of a living thing, nobody will think about aborting a pregnancy without a very, very, very cogent, difficult their need or necessity. Even those who say that it is permissible under necessity, all these things they have mentioned do not make necessity. You can take care, there are things that have answers. There are things that can be handled. May Allah protect each and everyone. Make this the last question now.
Okay. So it reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is the meaning of someone flying in their dream when people are chasing him or her?
Flying in the dream.
Yes.
People are chasing her or chasing him and then he flies. It may be a means of Allah's protection for him or her.
I mean, that's actually all from yesterday's question.
Can we call it a day today? We spent the hour already.
No, definitely.
I mean, yeah. Assalamu alaikum.